Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Inside Scoop Live, the live audio program brought to you by ReaderViews.com. I'm your host, Juanita Watson, and today I have the pleasure of talking with author Dr. J. Matthew Neal about his new book titled Specific Gravity. Now, Dr. Neal was born in Muncie, Indiana, where he has resided much of his life. And although he has been a medical writer for many years, Specific Gravity is his first novel. As a physician and residency program director, he has found plenty of inspiration in the medical field for his fiction. So I'm very happy to have Dr. Neal on the phone today. Welcome to Inside Scoop Live, Dr. Neal.
Thank you, Juanita. I'm happy to be here, too, and I hope we have a lively discussion about my book.
Absolutely. So, you know, I'd mentioned that your writing has been predominantly in the medical field. How was the experience of writing, you know, switching gears and writing a fictional novel where you could really stretch your imagination?
It was actually quite difficult. People think it would be easier to write fiction, but it's not. When you're dealing with medical facts, it's basically you have to know those things. But fiction is an entirely different experience, and I really had to put a lot of work into it and get a lot of input from instructors and colleagues on how to do that. So I found it entertaining and fun, but challenging.
Now, am I correct that you have actually written short stories in the past?
I wrote some short stories when I was in high school, but really nothing since then. It's been mostly medical nonfiction.
So what made you decide at this point to take on a full-fledged novel? And how long did this novel actually take in the writing process?
The novel took me about a year and a half to 2 years to write. I'd actually had the idea for some time, and my wife actually encouraged me, said, if you want to do it, just go ahead and do it. But I realized it was a lot more work than I thought. The first draft becomes the second draft. I think I was on about the 86th draft, I think, before I got it done. So
it's quite a process. And then the editing, I mean, the writing is one thing, and then that whole editing process is another. So tell us about Specific Gravity. Let's get up to speed on what happens in this story.
Specific Gravity deals with a physician. His name is Dr. Alexander Darkin. He's a radiation oncologist who's kind of a complicated guy with a lot of problems, and at first probably the readers won't find him very likable
Yeah, tell us more about him, because he really is a unique character. So, yeah, where did the idea of him come from, and did your own background and your life sneak into his character at all?
I think most of my characters have some basis in people that I know from real life. Alex is a good-looking, smart, and very talented doctor. However, he's fairly obnoxious, womanizing, and has a tendency to have self-destructing relationships. But he also has a deeper side that he doesn't yet realize, and much of the story revolves around his self-reflection and realization that he can do much to help those other than himself and medical society as a whole.
So tell us about this story and how he fits into it.
Okay. Alex is basically tired of his existence. He lives in Nashville, Tennessee. His sister, Wendy, is a pediatrician in San Diego, and she has a colleague who's going on sabbatical and wants him to come fill in for this guy for about 6 months, and he reluctantly decides to go. And at that point, he is looking at the files of a famous patient of the practice who had recently died. He's billionaire pharmaceutical CEO John Markham, and at that point, he realizes that some of the radiographs and laboratories may have been faked, postulates a bizarre hypothesis where John Markham had been killed. Unfortunately, no one seems to believe him at this point, so he's kind of stuck.
And so, you know, you actually, in this story, you're combining, you know, this sort of techno-thriller story with this journey that Dr. Darkin is going through, where he has some very cathartic realizations about his past as the novel progresses. So what can you tell us about how his past family life kind of is weaving its way into this story, and then how important it was for you to cast him going through this period of transformation or self-realization.
I think the biggest thing I wanted to create was realistic characters who have problems. The thing I hate the most is to read a good story that has cardboard characters. I think each of the characters, the main characters anyway, are people that have their own problems, their own flaws. Alex is child of a physicist in Tennessee who his father was alcoholic too, very womanizing, and eventually divorced his mother. He didn't have a very good paternal role model, and Alex's biggest fear is that he's becoming his father, and thus far he appears to be doing a pretty good job. So he's trying to do something to change that by moving away and confront some of his demons. He appears to be very selfish, and most of the things he's done have in his personal life have self-destructed despite being very successful professionally. But he realizes he's not happy and wants to try to do something about that.
Mm-hmm. So why did you decide to include this aspect, you know, with this character transformation into your novel? Was that there from the beginning?
Pretty much. I think everyone likes to read a story of someone's personal changes, and this story, in a way, is about Alex's personal redemption and a need to care about someone other than himself.
Mm-hmm. So how does his sister Wendy fit into the story?
Sister Wendy is 2 years younger. She is a physician also. She's a pediatrician. She moved away after high school because she didn't care much for their father. She became friends with a family in San Diego, the Mendoza Flores family, and her best friend, Bonnie Mendoza, is a police scientist, a forensic scientist who Alec tries to enlist her help in uncovering his scheme that he's concocted on how John Markham was killed.
Mm-hmm. Yes, tell us about Bonnie, because she's a very important character in this story and is very interesting in the way that you have kind of put her up against Dr. Darkin. So tell us a little more about Bonnie and then what inspired her character.
Bonnie is inspired by a few people I've known in real life. Bonnie is about 5 years younger than Wendy. She's deaf, by the way. I picked her because I wanted to have a character with a problem to overcome who has been compelled to do all these things. She's extremely bright. She has unusual mathematical and lexical gifts that allow her to manipulate words and numbers very well. She's also a very good athlete, like other members of her family. Wendy is very big into charity and raising money, and Bonnie is an expert magician. She helps Wendy raise money for children's charities, and she's also a very good escape artist, which is unusual for a woman, and that plays an important element in the story.
Mm-hmm. So where did this idea for the escape artistry and the magic come from? Is this a personal interest of yours?
I've always liked magic and escape artists and Houdini and things like that, although I'm not very good at it. To my knowledge, there's never been a good female magician character. There have been a number of male characters, so it's just something added to the story. On one aspect, Bonnie's this very bright scientist, but has another side, this creative performing side to her.
Mm-hmm. How important was it for you in the writing process to have your characters stand up as strong as the plot of this story?
I think it's important because without strong characters, then everything falls back on the plot, and I think they're both important.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at all the main characters, they all have problems, they all have flaws, they all have conflicts, and that's real life. If people aren't perfect in real life, despite Bonnie's superficial appearance as being this very intelligent, very accomplished person, she has a lot of problems too, just like Alex. And
mm-hmm.
She and Alex develop a very strong relationship.
They do. They become quite attracted to one another.
Yeah, despite they don't really get off on the right foot at first, and at first have a very strong disdain for one another, but I needed a strong female character to stand up to him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he tends to be very, very arrogant and roll over other people. So
mm-hmm.
he needed someone who could take whatever he dished out and throw it right back at
back
him.
At him. That's great.
And she's certainly capable of doing that.
Mm-hmm. So this book is actually considered a techno-thriller. What actually is a techno-thriller?
Techno-thriller is a type of fiction where technology is, in essence, a character in the story. Similar books have been written by people like Michael Crichton and Tom Clancy, Robin Cook. They tend to center on espionage or a threat to society, with the inner workings of the technology or components being a major portion. And like science fiction, there's an unusual dependence on just description of the technology. Not everybody likes it. They want to get on with the story, and they don't necessarily care about how this happened or how Bonnie did this or that, but that's what a techno-thriller is. It centers a lot on the technology.
So in some ways it is similar to, say, science fiction, but a little different. It's not so far out there.
I think one major difference is that a techno-thriller may center on some type of societal or political message to send. I think both can be as realistic or as outlandish as you want it to be, but I think techno-thriller usually has some type of mystery aspect to solve, some espionage, some greater message, which I'm trying to send in this novel.
Now, I know that you've had, obviously, a very long background in medical writing, so how did you bring the more medical aspect of, say, like the terminology and the concepts into this story without it becoming overwhelming to the reader?
I tried to strike a medium without including too much detail, although some people say that there is too much detail, including enough to be interesting, but a lot of the stuff I had to learn about and research that I certainly didn't know from personal experience.
So did you find any challenges in the writing process with this aspect, with combining, you know, the medical terminology and concepts into the story?
Not so much that. I think my major challenge was it's such a complicated story, just trying to keep all the details straight. All the details of this or that, and I described it this way here, but this way I didn't, and I'd have to go back and change it. But it's a pretty complicated story.
Yeah, so tell us what specific gravity really means, and then how this plays out in the story.
Specific gravity is a physics term. It describes the relative density of a liquid to water, and I can't really tell you a lot more about that without divulging more of the plot, but that becomes very important in when Alex deciphers some of John Markham's bizarre laboratory data and tries to discover what's really happened. It becomes a very important term.
Well, I think you're kind of alluding to this very surprised twist that you have that, you know, I've read about, and readers are commenting and reviewers are commenting on it, that's a big shocker. So can you allude a little bit to that, or do you want to just leave that?
I think you're talking about the murder weapon.
Yes.
It's an unusual murder weapon that actually just came to me one day, and I looked it up, and no one had ever done it. I had to figure out a way to do it that would be believable, and I think I did that. But I think people will be surprised. And I really uncovered a lot of technical data to back it up. But it was really quite fun to work with this.
Well, it's interesting because there's you know, you want to be able to find something in the writing process that hasn't been done before. So I did want to know if it was a challenge for you to find a murder weapon that actually hadn't been used before.
I actually thought of the murder weapon pretty easily. The challenge I had was trying to figure out a way to make it plausible that someone could actually be killed with it, because it is so outlandish. And I think I've done that pretty well.
Yeah, absolutely. So how important, you know, in your story, in this story, you bring up the whole issue of medical errors. So I'd like for you to talk a little bit towards that and how important it was for you to get this across to readers. You know, you said about the techno-thriller that there is typically some sort of underlying message to it.
As a physician, I see every day that our medical records, yours and mine and everyone's medical records, are all becoming computerized, and that's very good to be able to access information anywhere at any time, but also we have to have safeguards present to make sure that these records are not tampered with, that people don't have access to them, and just goes through a lot of the horrible things that could happen if medical records were tampered with and altered, and bad things that can happen. And actually, a lot of bad things have happened to a lot of people in the story, which we don't discover until the end. But sort of a message, not just about, you know, illicit hacking into medical records, but just the medical errors that happen every day that are just mistakes. And hospitals should be one of the safest places to be on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to get that message across.
Mm-hmm. I read somewhere as well that you wanted to incorporate the greed and corruption that can happen at the highest levels of the medical profession.
Yes, there are some very greedy and corrupt people, and the ultimate villain turns out to be someone who no one really suspects, but just shows what can happen if someone becomes so narcissistic that he or she believes that they're the center of the universe and the most important and can do anything that they want.
Mm-hmm. It's like you hear about it, the God complex.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have you met anyone like your lead character, Dr. Darkin?
I've met people that have had some characteristics. Like I've said, most of the main characters are created from bits and pieces of personalities of people I know in real life.
Mm-hmm.
So not anyone that...
Not anyone specifically.
Specifically like that.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly know some people with problems like that.
So what are some of your favorite parts of this story with all its plot twists, and you have many?
I like the introductory chapters where you're not sure you know, who's who and what's going on. When Bonnie and Alex first... They'd actually met a long time ago at Wendy's wedding, but he has not seen her for a long time when they first get together. When they go on their first date, that's kind of entertaining. Alec kind of thinks something's going to happen, and Bonnie's thinking about something else.
Mm-hmm.
And they're both kind of quirky people,
mm-hmm.
and it becomes entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
Later on, when they finally figure out who's doing all this stuff, and there's a lot of people involved. It's not just a single person that masterminded this, but a number of people. But there's one person behind it all that they never really suspected.
Okay. Very interesting. So are you working on a sequel? Or is Dr. Darkin going to be a reoccurring character for you?
I am working on a sequel called Ontario Lakis. It features Alex Darkin, although he's less important than Bonnie. Alex, a lot of his motivation, and I think a character has to have motivation in a novel, a lot of his motivation in Specific Gravity is to try and solve his dysfunctional problems, and he does a lot of that, so I don't know as far as the long-term character how good he's going to be, but
okay.
This sequel centers on a biogenetic terrorism threat that involves probably one of the greatest scientific discoveries of all time. A little bit different. It's not so much a mystery as more of a straight, almost science fiction type of story.
Oh, great. So Bonnie plays more of a part in it?
Bonnie's more of a... more about Bonnie, I think, than Alex. He plays more of a supporting role.
Mm-hmm. Where are you at in the writing process?
I'm about a fourth of the way done, I think. So got a lot of work to do.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things to figure out.
Yes, well, you've got time, and I think you just released Specific Gravity, didn't you?
It's been a couple of months.
Yes, yeah, but that's still very, very fresh.
That's not very long.
No, not at all. So tell us a little bit more about what you did to prepare yourself for writing this novel. Did you take classes?
I've written a lot of things, and I've always been a pretty good editor. I did take some go to some writers' conferences and take some courses in fiction writing, and most of those were after I'd already started the book, and I ended up trashing about the first five chapters of my book and completely rewriting them because people said they were really bad, so you need to redo, which is good. It's good to learn things, and it's refreshing to realize that something really isn't easy. Just because you're good at one genre doesn't mean you're good at another. But just a lot of the technical preparation, I've got a whole box full of books in my basement, reference materials on the things I've researched.
Mm-hmm. So do you sit down every day and write?
It depends. I tend to write more in blocks. I need at least a couple of hours of time to write anything. I can edit with smaller chunks, but for ideas to come, I need about half hour to really get up to speed. That's hard with what I do, so I try to write when I can. It's not always every day. I try to write a little bit, at least every couple of days.
Are you still involved with your nonfiction writing?
Yes, I still write articles and things. I'm not currently working on a nonfiction book, but I still write a lot of medical articles and such.
Mm-hmm. So what authors do you enjoy reading and find inspirational for your own writing?
I certainly enjoy Michael Crichton, especially some of his earlier novels. Martin Caden, he wrote a lot of science fiction novels in the 70s and 60s. He was a strong influence. Robin Cook, Tom Clancy, mm-hmm. those would be the major ones.
Mm-hmm.
Nora Roberts, I like the Nora Roberts, mm-hmm. J.D. Robb
mm-hmm.
series.
Mm-hmm. What about maybe some TV programs that could have influenced you? Are you a TV watcher?
I watch some things on TV, really not a whole lot as far as fiction writing. Most positions as portrayed on television aren't very realistic, although
yeah.
I find those shows entertaining. They don't really influence my writing a whole lot.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think we're seeing so many of these medical TV dramas these days?
I think people are intrigued by it, and I know from going to writers' conferences, people find out I'm a doctor and that they think, well, you know, are things really like they are on Grey's Anatomy or House? And I say, no, they're really not like that.
Yeah.
Not like that at all. And I'm sure there are liberties taken with every, you know, legal shows, police shows and everything, but a lot of them just aren't, they're entertaining, but not necessarily realistic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you could say that about most fiction, I think.
Yes. Yes, I think so. So what is your website, Matt?
It's www.jmneil.com.
Okay. And your book can be purchased, Specific Gravity, can be purchased through your website?
Can be purchased. It would have a link to Amazon and any other online retailers such as Barnes & Noble. You would be able to purchase it there.
Okay. Great.
There's a link on my website.
Great. Great. So what's next for you? You know, you said you were writing the follow-up to Specific Gravity titled Ontario Lacus. Is that what
yes.
How'd you pronounce that? So what else is next for you? Are you going to become a full-fledged novelist?
I don't think so.
No?
I don't think that would ever happen. I'm not sure what I'll do after that.
Mm-hmm.
Probably maybe put these characters aside for a while and work on something else. Maybe write teen fiction or something.
Oh, interesting. Very interesting. Maybe a screenplay. You never know. One of these TV shows might pick up one of these ideas.
Well, I've thought about that, but we'll just have to see. There's only so many hours in a day, so.
Yeah, absolutely. I know you're a very, very busy guy. So actually, Matt, our time is kind of coming to an end here, and I wanted to offer you the last minute to share any final thoughts that you'd like to with your listeners today.
Well, again, I hope everyone who reads the book enjoys it, and I'm certainly, my email address is on my website. If anyone has any comments or suggestions, I would certainly be happy to hear from anyone.
Great.
Thank you for the time.
Yes, absolutely. It's been great talking with you, Matt. Your book, Specific Gravity, is fantastic. It's getting great, great reviews, and we certainly encourage listeners and readers to check out your website, look for your book, order it, give it a read, and send you an email and let you know what they thought of it.
Okay.
Great. Well, thanks so much for your time. Hope to talk with you again.
All right.
Thanks,
All right.
Matt.
Bye.
Okay, listeners, there you go. So Dr. Neil's website,
yes.
Once again, www.jmneil.com. You can purchase Specific Gravity through his website or through online and local booksellers. For a recent book review and online interview, you can also go to readreviews.com. So thanks again for your time and for listening to Inside Scoop Live. I'm Juanita Watson. Until next time.